Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So Autoblog says that police were chasing a Florida man driving on three tires. Cars usually have four. At 95 miles per hour. Oh, man. That is a bad-looking photo. Ooh, it hurts me. He was drunk as a skunk.
He was 95.
And Broward County, Florida. They were pursuing the car at high speed. The vehicle flipped, had slipped one of its front tires, and it was on the rim. The rim was in pieces when the car was stopped. They were alerted thanks to a 911 call from another driver, and they finally pulled the car over after a pursuit of about 35 miles. Police said that the 25-year-old driver was, quote, quite intoxicated. Oh, my gosh. If you're watching the simulcast, that's what that... Oh, my gosh. It is torn to shreds. So it was a Sonata. What is that? A Hyundai Sonata? Is that what that is? I don't know. The suspect got out of the car using obscene hand gestures, and he was told a taser might be used, so then he calmed down. So they said the driver, he had his flashers on. He was in and out of traffic. He wasn't identified, but he was charged with DUI, reckless driving, resisting an officer without violence. Bond was set at $1,500. Oh, my gosh. Like, that's, I just can't believe that he actually went 35 miles on the rim. I mean, I guess I can. I mean, pretty much, you know, do anything, I guess. Let's see. A Florida driver was critically injured after slamming into a Palm Tran bus, a pedestrian, a traffic signal, restaurant, and a lot of things, hedges, and I don't know, all kind of stuff. It was a driver of a Dodge Challenger. Why did you do this to the Challenger? He's recovering in the hospital. He slammed into this bus, according to Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. It happened Tuesday of this week in the afternoon. The sheriff's spokesperson said that the driver was traveling at a high rate of speed, and it was making a left turn, and then the impact caused the driver to lose control of the vehicle. So he then hit a pedestrian, then he hit a traffic signal, then he hit a bunch of hedges, and then he careened into the parking lot of the Miami Subs Grill, where he hit a flagpole, hit the restaurant, and then came to rest on the roof of the restaurant. Yeah. Sounds like a Wile E. Coyote scene. And then he was taken to the hospital. He had critical injuries. Rescue crews transported the driver of the bus and one occupant to the hospital. They had minor injuries. Oh, my gosh. Like, that's... And a Florida man kept stealing lobsters from a Miami brewery, sometimes without a shirt. The latest data from the American Heart Association indicates that adults with fatty liver were 3.5 times more likely to have heart failure than those without. And the American Liver Foundation says that 100 million Americans have fatty liver. Start taking care of your liver with Liver Health Formula. You throw everything at your liver. Cholesterol, alcohol, toxins, Tylenol, statins, cigarettes. You shouldn't. And that's why so many people have a sluggish, fatty liver that makes you gain weight and lose energy. An all-natural supplement, which contains 12 clinically proven botanicals that help recharge and protect your liver. Liver Health Formula is manufactured right here in the USA and approved by American doctors. Now, when you try Liver Health Formula, you'll also get a free bottle of omega-3 to keep your heart healthy. Visit getliverhelp.com/Dana and take advantage of this special offer. That's getliverhelp.com/Dana. For decades, your liver has helped you with over 500 key functions daily. So take care of your liver with Liver Health Formula and get a free bonus gift at getliverhelp.com/Dana.
So if you're going to post something that's illegal or against the law, you're gone. Zero tolerance. But more importantly, if you're going to post something that is lawful, but it's awful, you get labeled. You get labeled, you get de-amplified, which means it cannot be shared. And it is certainly demonetized. Back to your direct point about
brand safety.
Brands. Yeah. Brand safety.
Mm. So we've been following, and we're going to come back to it, the special counsel selection, that announcement and the hot mess that that is. But that's also, it's also important to talk about what's happening, too, with one of the biggest means of covering and distributing information, which is social media. And that was the, was she like the CEO of, not Twitter, X now? Gosh, it's weird to call it X, isn't it? I think people are still saying Twitter. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of the second hour. And, boy, it has been... So this, she was talking about this, and who determines what is or is not awful or lawful? She's like, lawful, but it's awful. You can get labeled. But then on Audio Soundbite 10, she was asked, and this is Linda Yaccarino, the CEO of X. Well, okay, can you define what healthy content is? And she had a little bit of an issue. Listen.
And that reducing that hateful content from being seen is one of the best examples how X is committed to encouraging healthy behavior online. And today, I can confidently sit in front of you and say that 99.9% of all posted impressions are healthy.
How do you define healthy, though? Is porn healthy? Are conspiracy theories healthy?
You know, it goes back to my point about our success with freedom of speech, not reach.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, I just, that's the social, social media. The CEO of X. So it's important because I think as these, you don't want definitions of what is allowable to be left to the discretion of someone's feels, honestly. You don't. Especially if it's, you know, if it's something that can actually affect you. Like, here's the thing. So we're talking about some 2024 stuff, and apparently Mike Pence weighed in on the appointment of a special prosecutor. We're going to get to that in a minute. Not Pence specifically, but the David Weiss, because I think this is a joke. But we were figuring out how we're going to talk about the primary debate coming up. We were joking a little bit earlier because the Omnivorous Mammal Network is, and I've never had a bad relationship with them, but I just have a lot of questions as to why all of a sudden are these never before seen restrictions on the primary debate. I have a piece coming out about this later on over at Chapter and Verse, Substack, that gets into a little bit of what, you know, it actually means, because there's some issues here, clearly. They came out with some of these restrictions and basically we're not really going to be able to play anything. And if we do play something, it can only be stuff that is either taped right from their simulcast or that they've provided on their super glitchy video player. And it can only stay, you can only have it, you can only refer to it for like 7 days. I mean, it's not Major League Baseball or NFL. This is a public interest issue, right? And that's why I think that, you know, like with the Superb Owl game, because you can't say the actual name of the game because it's copyright issues. They'll actually come at you. You can't show anything from, you know, the Uber Say Old Bay. You can't, nothing. And they said that literally they have on here the Omnivorous Mammal Network. They have, quote, under no circumstances may an excerpt of the debate or portions thereof be used beyond the 7-day period. You can't permit. So how are you, what? How are you, this has never happened before with debate covers. How are you supposed to cover it? How do you cover this debate? We're actually going to have a production meeting about this because we have no idea how to actually do our jobs with these restrictions out. And this affects like all these. I don't know why the RNC signed off on this and Rumble. What in the grift hell is this for Rumble to sign up for something like this? This is why I tell you, please do not put any entity or service or anything up on a pedestal. Do not, because you will be disappointed. I think for the RNC, for the GOP to have signed on to this is ridiculous. We reached out to the RNC to get the chairwoman on. Did we hear back? Are they going to, like, maybe next week or something? Like,
yeah,
what's
I did,
the?
They're supposed to be sending me a statement in response to my question.
How long does it take them to come up with a statement? Because you asked this yesterday.
Yeah, I did yesterday afternoon. I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, I'll follow up, but My question was there any knowledge of this when this was being set up?
I'm going to tell you, the Republican Party needs voters more than the voters need the Republican Party. And if you're going to make it to where the commentators that you rely on to cover your ass and talk about your policies and talk about your candidates, we can't even actually do it because you sign on with this stupid flex that treats public interest material like it's Major League Baseball stuff. I mean, this is nuts. I mean, we can't do anything like that. We could get a DMCA notice. It's a takedown notice. And then if they hit you with a takedown notice, you could actually get demonetized on YouTube. Your stuff can get buried on YouTube. It affects how the algorithm views you, everything. Now, some people are saying that you know, the Omnivorous Mammal Network is doing this. They're flexing to restore ratings after taking a hit with Carlson's departure. Some say that they're machinating a counterstrike in the event that Trump decides to skip the debate and hold a rally somewhere at the same time. I don't care. I don't give a rat's backside because it's going to negatively impact my ability to do my job as a broadcaster. And then to get an email from them saying, do you want our anchors on to promote the debate? You mean the debate that I can't cover? Seriously? The bigger thing is that this has the potential to affect coverage of every single debate going forward. So this is really disappointing. And we don't know how we're actually going to cover it. The debate's scheduled for August 23rd. I mean, we won't be able, because that's how we work. Our stuff is on YouTube and then broadcast are archived as podcasts. And this has never happened before. So, I don't know.
I've reached out to Fox to see what the process is to get special permission that clearly they're asking for, I guess, just so we can properly cover this like we've covered every other debate since the start of the show.
Yeah. So I'm really disappointed with us, very much so. So I don't know. We'll see. It's incredible. We'll keep you updated. But yeah, I have no idea how that's going to work. We have no clue. Caltech invented the concealed carry category years ago with the P11, but did they stop there? Heck no. One innovation just led to another and another, and well, just look at their latest, the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market at only 14 ounces and 7/8 inches wide. The P15 has a 4-inch barrel and double-stack magazine that holds 15+1 total capacity. Its gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for ambidextrous grip safety and easy, accurate handling. If you prefer a more vintage look, choose the metal version with classic wood panels and textured grips. The P15 has a Tritium Plus fiber optic front sight with a fully adjustable Tritium 2-dot rear to keep you on target in any situation. Make the P15 your choice for concealed carry. Learn more at KeltechWeapons.com. Sign up for the Keltech Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories at KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Ooh, a lot of turn into a fun Friday. So the federal court blocked $20 billion in student loan forgiveness. It's an injunction in the latest series of setbacks for the Biden administration's loan forgiveness agenda. It blocked the rules that would have provided, again, this is all that student loan forgiveness stuff, primarily to a number of these different, there's a handful of colleges. The Department of Education has released new proposed rules expanding eligibility for their borrower defense forgiveness program. So something else to keep an eye on. Free everything, right? An Indiana woman fatally shot a man after he held a gun to her husband's head. Because guns save lives, innocent lives. Salem, Indiana, Monday. A man drove his car into the couple's yard, threatened the homeowner with a firearm. According to Indiana State Police, the man was saved via bearing arms thanks to quick response from his wife. She saw what was going on outside while she was still in the family's home. The police said that they found Michael Chastain in the front yard with a gunshot wound. He was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. The incident started when he drove into the front yard, grabbed the homeowner, forced him into the ground, and held him at gunpoint with the barrel at the back of his head. The homeowner's wife saw it happen. She came out with her handgun, shot and killed her husband's attacker. And no idea what caused. We have no idea anything about the motive or anything like that. But that's pretty. Whew. I hope that this is not going to be troublesome. I mean, you should be able to, you know, defend your life if need be. Three in Florida die after falling into a cistern. This is I don't even know if I want to hear read this story. I saw this morning. I've been avoiding it. It's three people, two of them from Florida. It happened in Bastrop County, Texas. They had a hound dog, and they were got a call at 1 a.m. The dog had fallen. They were out hog hunting. A dog ran off, fell into a 4x4 foot hole that turned out to be a cistern. One of the officials say one of the hunters jumped in to save the hound, and then the two others jumped in. And they had taken off their boots and their shoes in that to get in there to save the dog, and they all three died. They all three died. That's just, oh my gosh, it is absolutely heartbreaking. But honestly, I totally would jump in a cistern to save my dog. I'm not even, I just, that's awful. U.S. suicides have hit an all-time high last year. And new measures. This is coming from the, I know it's the CDC, but they said something's wrong. The numbers should not be going up. I don't know. Let's think about it. You lock down the country. Then everybody's livelihoods were ruined. Houses are becoming so expensive that newer generations can't even get ownership. What did you think was going to happen? So in Keller, Texas, it is a school in the DFW, which is the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the ACLU is demanding that the U.S. Department of Education investigate Keller ISD and the Fort Worth Academy of Fine Arts for what they are alleging are Title IX civil rights violations. They dislike their policies about trans and bathrooms. The ACLU of Texas sham attorney said, quote, "It's deeply disappointing that these North Texas school boards have targeted their transgender, non-binary, intersex students who just want to feel like they belong, blah, blah, blah." And they said they've banned students from using facilities and from participating in the activities that align with who they are and subject them to harassment and bullying, end quote. No, the harassment and bullying comes, by the way, of ACLU going after these kids and forcing particularly minor girls to accept men in the most vulnerable physical spaces that they could be in, which are locker rooms and girls' bathrooms. I just want to know why the adults at ACLU are so hell-bent on endangering the safety and security of minor girls. Like, I think that's a legitimate question to ask. Are you, like, wanting to see them in danger? Are you wanting to see something untoward happen to them, like the girl in the Virginia school who was raped by an older boy who identified as a girl conveniently so he could have access to the girls' bathroom and harass girls? Because after he raped that girl, then when he was quietly transferred to a different school, guess what? He sexually assaulted another female, another young minor female student in the bathroom. Is that what ACLU wants? Does the girl not have... Yeah, where are the girls' civil rights? No one talks about that. Where are the civil rights of the young girls who just want to be able to go to the bathroom without having a boy in the bathroom with them? What about the kids who just want to be able to participate in sports without having some whacked out adults with their attention seeking social climbing stunts try to exploit, you know, their athletics for political causes? And that's what this is. You don't play sports with that align with who you are. You play sports that align with what you do and what you are. That's how that works. I just feel like this is sexist. The irony of Title IX. This is what third wave feminism has done. It is actually they demanded they need Title IX for equality. And, you know, part of me, there's a mean little part of me that's like, shut up and take it, bitches. Honestly, you know why? Because Title IX. That was what feminists, they wanted equality with men. They wanted all of this other stuff. We need to make sure that we're catering to girls to an excessive level, more so than boys in schools and all this other stuff. You know, we need to do all of this. And then they now the men have turned around and they've co-opted Title IX and applied it to men who identify as women. So there's a little bit of schadenfreude here, but caught in the middle are all of these young girls and young boys too, who don't want any part of this. They didn't want any part of this. So they filed this Title IX complaint. And so the parents there have been made aware. And they say, oh, the school board's actions have created a hostile environment. Oh, for the love. It's not discriminating against students. You're discriminating against the civil rights of students who don't want to have to deal with this stuff. I mean, it's just, this is asinine. It's where people go to the damn bathroom. You know, it's like the story that we had a couple of years ago of this one trans student who was given special accommodation, told that he could use the faculty bathrooms, but he wanted to use the female bathrooms, the girls' bathrooms. And it's like, it's where you literally take a deuce. You're trying to make everything a political stage. Just insane. At the expense of what? The security and safety of these girls, at the expense of their civil rights. I've said this a million times. If a man feels uncomfortable in the men's room because they want to dress as a woman, they're accommodated. But if the women feel uncomfortable with having a man in the women's room, they're told to shut up, suck it up, They're called bigots. They're called TERFs. They're threatened, and they're told to just get over it. I don't have any experience with the patriarchy. All of my experience has been with the matriarchy. The meanest people have been other women, particularly progressive women. It's always been other women. I have never had a problem with dudes like I've had with chicks. Whether it's like even like little piddly social climbing, you know, power jockeying stuff that I've witnessed between other women at workplaces and that. My gosh. And meanest to each other. And just some of the stuff that I have seen and the stuff that I have experienced, progressive women are the meanest. Progressive men, really, too. But they're just mean. All of my experience has been with a matriarchy. You got men walking around on eggshells nowadays.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.